for explaining this to somebody.
Okay, we're back on the record. We're not quite ready to go, it looks like, but...
We are.
Okay.
We can get rolling.
I do. Yep.
Flexies. Guys, are you, have you filled these out? We need to get rolling here.
Why do we need to get rolling?
Because I have to go.
So many questions.
Well, now we added on something else. Let's hear that trade secret things. If I didn't, you would.
I don't think so. Not today.
Okay, so back on the record, we're at the stage where Mr. Simpson is going to cross. Mr. Diller? Mr. Diller, you're still under oath. And my understanding is that at some point after we're done with Mr. Diller, we want to go off the record to do the trade secret information. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. This is Mitch Armstrong. We'll be calling Ann Hoyer to discuss NSP Exhibit 43, which has been filed as a trade secret protected document.
And that's okay with counsel for NSP?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Simpson.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Diller, just a couple of quick questions. Commissioner Fedorchak raised the issue of riders, and I just wanted to make sure that how we've handled the riders in the comprehensive settlement is clear to the commission. If you wouldn't mind turning to page 11.
Okay.
I'm reading the paragraph right before the number 3 that starts with consistent with the company's request. And just wanted to make sure that you agree that this language here in the settlement makes clear that the TCR is only being established and that no actual costs will flow through it until they're approved by the commission.
That is true, but our revenue forecasts included the assumption that the company would actually employ them.
That's correct, and that was going to be my next question. Okay. Your understanding is that we forecasted some number that would likely be a reasonable proxy, but again, just to make clear that the actual projects and costs that flow through the rider are still within the commission's control during the rate term, correct?
That's right.
And then with respect to the renewable energy rider as well?
Yes.
Same page, just down a ways. Similar to the TCR, is it also your understanding that the settlement here also requires both an ADP and for a project to be located in North Dakota?
That's true.
And to your knowledge, besides the Border Winds project, would there be any other projects that we are currently aware of?
No.
And if the company, would the rider allow the company, or do you believe the rider encourages the company that if it does make any major renewable energy investments during the rate period, that to locate them in North Dakota?
It certainly would.
And if they're not located in North Dakota, would they be eligible for recovery?
Well, if it's an owned wind resource, then you would have to, presumably it's of size that you would have to apply for an ADP. If it was a purchase power agreement, I assume that you would utilize the rules in place in North Dakota and would flow that through the fuel cost adjustment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Diller. I have nothing further.
Mr. Neral?
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Diller, sticking with riders, would you agree that rate riders help customers see a more gradual increase associated with new plants rather than waiting till after it's been built and it's on service?
Depends. Some riders we put into place actually do allow it would allow the company. Well, let's take the Big Stone environmental upgrades as an example. In that case, we allowed them to start recovering costs, let's say day one, when they started working on the project going forward. And so by doing it that way, it's a gradual increase until the project is done, and there's no There's no cost of capital added to that because of the time between when they started and when they finally got the project finished. So if it's a project that you're building and you're accruing AFUDC or cost of capital during that time frame between when you started and when you finished the project, I mean, that's a big chunk if it comes in all at once. And so it depends, I think, how it's filed.
So riders could have the could benefit customers in that way by smoothing out that cost.
We've done it that way for Big Stone, for example. Yeah.
Do you have Mr. Cedarquist's testimony in front of you by chance? In your packet at all? And this would be
yes,
number. Number 41.
Page 41?
I'm sorry, no, page 13. There's what's been termed as figure one.
Yes.
Earlier in the day, there was a lot of question about the drivers behind the costs in this investment cycle. Would you agree that these are some of or the major projects driving those costs?
Yes, based on, I guess I've been following NSP for a few years now, and I think those are the big ones, yes. We've had, ADPs on most of them. In fact, we've had ADPs on all of them, I think. Maybe not Monticello. We had one on Prairie Island for sure. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. To your knowledge, are there any other major drivers besides the ones that are listed here?
Really haven't spent any time thinking about that. I mean, the first one that really started this investment cycle, it was indeed that. Those MERP projects, and that's the first one you see on there. I think this captures most of the big ones that I can think of.
And just based on your experience as a consumer advocate, in your opinion, do you think customers like refunds?
Well, I'm a sophisticated customer. And so if they send me a check instead of a credit on my bill, I'm angry. I don't want to have to go to the bank. I'd rather have a credit. But I don't care how they reduce my bill, whether they credit it or just lower my rates into the next year. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other.
No further questions.
Mr. Armstrong?
Nothing.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco?
Nothing. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody, any of the commissioners? Okay. Mr. Diller, you may step down. Thank you. Mr. Norell, anything else that for the record?
No, Your Honor. The advocacy staff would rest its case.
Okay. Mr. Armstrong.
Your Honor, at this time, I'm going to call Ann Hoyer.
Okay. I think what I'll do is I'll swear Ms. Hoyer on the record, and then we'll close the record after she's identified as to who she is.
Excuse me.
Your Honor, if I could just, before we close the proceedings, why don't I ask her identifying information, establish the foundation for what I'm going to ask her about to close the record before that.
Hey, Ms. Hoyer, you've been in the room, I think, all day. You heard the perjury admonition this morning?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Raise your right hand, please. Do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Armstrong.
Could you state your name, please?
Ann Hoyer.
And who are you employed by?
Xcel Energy Services.
In what position?
Director of Revenue Analysis.
And as part of your employment, have you prepared what we have filed as NSP Exhibit 43, which are settlement work papers? Are you familiar with those?
Yes, I am.
And those have been filed as trade secret documents in this case?
Yes, they have.
All of the questions I have for you relate to those documents, so, Your Honor, I'd ask that the hearing be closed at this time.
Is there any objection?
No, Your Honor.
No, Your Honor.
At this time, for purposes of anyone out there listening to the broadcast, we're going to go off the record and deal with some trade secret material, and everybody in the room has signed a confidentiality provision that they will abide by the confidentiality of the trade secret information. Okay. Off the record.
On the record is fine. Your Honor, I believe it will still be on the record, just under trade secret protection, not public.
Well, it will be on the court reporter's record, but we're not going to broadcast that out to the public.
That's fine. Thank you, Your Honor.